Take your Bibles and look in Joshua chapter 18 tonight. Joshua chapter 18. And I appreciate you pray for me tonight. My voice hasn't been 100% past few days. I'm kind of feeling it tonight, especially, I guess, after preaching this morning and just woke up one more. I don't know if it's just the weather or what, but I wake up with it real dry, scratchy feeling, and then preaching this morning, it certainly didn't help. And so anyways, but I want to try to give you a thought the Lord's put on my heart, and maybe just remind us of some things, keep some things at the forefront of our mind. And that a lot of times for those of us that have been in church for a long time, been raised in church, that's what a lot of it is. But we need that. And to be reminded of things that that really we already know. And I remember, I think it was Brother Johnny talk about when he first got saved and going to college, and this college that was really supposed to be a Christian college. It wasn't real Christian, I don't think. But anyways, they were talking about there being a professor there. And this man that had at one time pastored, he had been a pastor, and he was in class one day. I don't remember what the topic was he was teaching or whatever. But Brother Johnny said he remembered that man saying how he had pastored, and how the reason he got out of pastoring, he said. And of course, he's putting off this real air of superiority and intelligence. That's how these professors are, And he said, I got tired of laying again over and over and over the foundations of the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Bible. He said, I just got so tired just going over and over and over, having to go over the same things over and over and over. And but Johnny said he thought to himself, well, praise God, if you got tired of that, you need to be out of pastor, and it's a good thing you got out. Amen. And so, because that's a lot of our Christian life is laying again the foundations. And that's right, repetition, that's how we learn any topic, particularly spiritual things, though. And that's what a lot of the apostles did, was when they wrote their letters, they would write regarding the things that they'd already been taught, going back over the things that they already knew, they already been taught, because we need that, amen? And we need this tonight. And so this will be a very simple, some simple thoughts out of a verse here that I want to give to you, and pray to be a blessing and help to us. And then afterwards, I assume we're eating tonight, right? Because we have to eat. We have to. So we can't not eat. So I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and eating tonight. And so I'm going to try to go extra long, and so to try to help you spiritually. Amen. Joshua chapter 18. Just going to read one verse, so I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight. And I just want to look at verse number 1. It says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. Let's pray. Father, these thoughts into our heart, help us to be reminded and stirred concerning the things that we'll deal with tonight. Pray, Lord, for your people, and Lord, for all of us that have gathered and assembled together again here in the house of God one more time. Lord, I just ask that we be blessed tonight. Lord, may we go away from here saying it's been good to be in your house. May we hear from heaven tonight, speak to our hearts, and help us, Lord. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in Joshua chapter 18, I think probably most of us are relatively familiar with the book of Joshua. This is the record of the leadership of Joshua in the children of amongst the Israelites. He's leading the children of Israel. Moses has passed off the scene, and the torch has been passed now to Joshua. And it is under Joshua that Israel has now come into the promised land. seen many great victories and see God do many great things. And what's taken place here in Joshua chapter 18 is that when Israel has now moved into Canaan, they initially, at first, made Shiloh kind of the center for worship. Now, I think probably we all know that later, of course, it would be moved to Jerusalem, the city of David, right? And they would make Jerusalem, that would become the center for worship in the land, the capital of Israel. It's amazing they made the capital also the place of worship, right? And so they built around the place of worship. They built their lives, built their nation around the place where God met with them and where they went to meet with God. And that's the way our lives ought to be too. The best thing we can do with our lives is to build our lives around the place, around the things that where we meet with God and where God meets with us. There was a time in our society, in the American society, where the average town was pretty much built around the church. I mean, life centered on the church. And I mean, it was the center for everything. I mean, everything that went on in town, everything that went on in everybody's life, it was done at the church. Amen? And so that's a good way to be. It's not that way anymore. We've long drifted from that. But at one time, that's the way it was. And that's the way it was in Israel. I heard a preacher preach one time, and I thought about preaching on this topic of building around the water. You ever notice anytime they go into a place, they travel, places always build where there's water at, right? And you got to have water. You can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without water. Amen? And so most modern cities, they started out being built where there was water at. It was just practical. I mean, that's where the water was. They found a well. They found a spring or whatever. And so that's where they built. And people, you know, families came in. The town built up. And it was all hinged on where the water was at. Amen? And I tell you, if you're going to survive, you're going to have to build around the water. Amen? If your family's going to make it, if you're going to make it, listen, you ought to build around this water. Amen? And so they built around the things of God. And they started out in Shiloh. Now, here in our text is the first gathering of the people at Shiloh to worship. They've come into Canaan now, and it's been decided that Shiloh is where we're going to set up the tabernacle. And here is the first event, I guess you would, the first occasion where God's people have met together in Shiloh to worship. And here, just in this one verse, I mean, there's a lot that could be said, but there's some principles here in this one little verse that I think we can kind of glean and learn and be reminded of some things regarding our gathering to worship. You know, God help us to never forget why we gather to worship. Amen? Why we gather to worship. Because, and again, this is something we all know, but we need to be reminded of things because we're constantly inundated in a society and in a religious world that says that church is supposed to be a lot of things. But it doesn't matter what the world says things ought to be. It matters what God says church ought to be and what the gathering ought to be. Now, this tabernacle is where God dwelt, right? In Israel, that's where God was. You fast forward to where we are now, and we are the temple. Praise God for it. He's dwelling in us. Thank God we don't necessarily have to go to a place to find God. If you're saved, He's in you. Amen? But listen, the church is also a place where we gather to meet with God. And God's people have been doing it since all the way in the back to the book of Acts. Amen? And so we gather for a reason, and it's God's will that we gather. Listen, don't ever get hitched onto this idea that church is kind of like a salad bar. Take it or leave it, you know. No, you can't be in the will of God. You cannot be right with God if you are not faithful to the gathering. If you're not faithful to church. I may have should have preached this morning. Amen. I know this is the Sunday night crowd. Amen. But listen, we got to be reminded that we never get off base concerning why we come. Amen. And it is God's will that we come. It's God's will that we be here. This whole idea that we're in such an ease in Zion society. Making everything easy, drive through church, and you know, a parking lot church and internet church and making everything easy, right? The easier the better. Now, you know, people think they can be right with God sitting in their, you know, pajamas, sipping coffee, watching the live stream, you know. Listen, I understand if that's all somebody can do, praise the Lord, it's available. But listen, if we're talking about serving and worshiping God Almighty, the one who we say, you know, made the universe and sustains, you know, the one who we say, you know, we can do nothing without. I mean, we're talking about God, the God of heaven. If we're talking about worshiping Him, my word, the least we could do is come. I mean, the least anyone could do is just show up. That's the very least we could do when we talk about worshiping the God of heaven. Right? But see, we've got this mentality. Our society's got this mentality. It'll bleed off on us if we're not careful. That easier is better. Well, let's just make it easy. All about making. That's why we're dressing down church. That's why we've got casual church. Listen to me, church. Let's never make church casual here. Let's never just casually come to church. Listen, I know we come and we don't always feel like worshiping. By the way, your flesh will never feel like worshiping. Amen? You're going to have to kill that Adamic man on Saturday night every week. Amen? Not Sunday morning, Saturday night. Amen? Because that Adamic man will keep you out all Saturday night, out the wee hours of night, and you'll have to come dragging into church, you know, beat and not be able to worship God. Amen? Listen, worship starts on Saturday. Amen? You got to prepare to worship on Saturday. You can't lay out all night Saturday night and come really get in on worship. The only reason you should stay up all night Saturday night is if you're up praying for the service. Amen? That's the only valid, legitimate reason to be up all night Saturday night. Amen? You ought to be getting ready for worship. I mean, we get ready for work, don't we? We get ready for school, don't we? We go to bed early getting ready for what we got the day ahead. But man, we'll lay out on God all night long, come dragging in and not give God our best. God, help us. Amen? If we ever treat church like it's second class or second best in our life, let's never make church casual around here. Let's put into our worship. Let's invest in our worship. Amen? And that's the society we're living in. I mean, listen, just wear whatever you want to, man. We're just here to worship Jesus, you know. I mean, listen to what you're saying, you know. We're just here to worship Jesus. You know, I mean, we're talking about the Lamb of God, right? Amen. Without me, ye can do nothing, he said. By the way, it's the same one that the Father has committed all judgment to. When we stand at that throne, with judgment, you know who's going to be judging us? It's going to be Jesus. With those eyes like a flame of fire, and out of his mouth coming a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. That's the one we'll be standing for. And so the least we can do is not make it casual and easy. The least we can do is invest in it. Amen. And so these people here, they've gathered to worship. And God, help us to never forget why we worship and how we worship. That's why we're not looking to dress down church here. Amen. Amen. You may not have a suit and tie to wear, but you could wear your best. Amen. Amen. Whatever your best is, give God your best. That's what it's all about. It's about giving God your best. Amen. And so I want to just notice a few different principles here and just kind of bring them out, remind you of some things and have our minds stirred about some things, about this gathering to worship here. First of all, notice in the verse, it says the very first phrase, the whole congregation. The whole congregation gathered at Shiloh here. And so the very first thing we see are the people for worship, the people in this gathering. It said the whole congregation. Amen? Parents didn't send their kids, right? And it wasn't just part of them showed up, and some of them showed up if they had time and if they were able to work it in. Oh no, this was a priority to them, and they put down everything. They put their life on hold. They put their work down. They put everything down in their life to make sure they were in Shiloh to worship. The whole congregation gathered at Shiloh. You know, this is the way it ought to be. Again, I know this is the Sunday night crowd, but it's really unfortunate that when it's time to worship, by the way, it comes on the Lord's Day. It comes on Sunday every week. It's almost like, you know, some people act like they're surprised, like the Lord's Day has snuck up on them. It's the same day every week. You can prepare for it just like you can prepare for anything else. And if Jesus don't come back this week, it's going to come the same time next week. Let me just say, this is not in my notes. Let me just say, it just ran across my mind, so I'm going to hit it while it's there. There is no reason for somebody being 10, 15 minutes late to church every single Sunday. We've been having church and starting at 9:45 for Sunday school for at least 5 years. That's how long I've been here. And however long Brother Ronnie Sutton was here, I'm sure it was the same time. And how whoever preacher was for that. And listen, it's probably been this way for at least 25 years. And people act like it sneaks up on them every Sunday. People would be fired from their job if they were as unfaithful and unpunctual to their job as they are on God. And it's wicked as the devil. I love you, but if that's what you are, I'm telling you right now, it is wicked. You need to repent. You need to get right with God because it is a show of your heart that God isn't important as important to me as these other things. And that's just the honest truth, isn't it? And it's just the way it is. We just got to be honest. Listen, if your ox is in a ditch, get it out, you know? But if that ox is in the ditch every Sunday morning at 9:45, either shoot the ox or fill in the ditch, one or the other. Do what you got to do to make sure you can be where you're supposed to be, not for my sake, not for anybody else's sake, for God's sake, for God's sake, for Christ's sake. He's been too good for us to lay out on Him and come dragging in late and not put our heart into worship and not sing out, not say amen, not lift a hand, have a teardrop run out our cheek every now. God's been too good for us to be so cold in our worship. He's been too good to us. Amen. I mean, at least any of us can do is just show up. That's what happened here. I mean, they showed up. The whole congregation is there. And they've not got cell phones out. And they're not passing notes. Amen. They're not checking the score. They're not texting their friend. They're not looking at Facebook. Amen. They're there to worship God. Everything else in life is on hold at this point. And I tell you, we're only here from God whenever we get back to this. Amen. I mean, we preach as hard as we want and sing as loud as we want and have all the activities we want going on. But until we get back to putting down everything else in life and saying, God, You're more important to me than anything else, and I'll put all this stuff out and devote myself to You for this worship service. God, You mean more to me than any of this other stuff. Until we get back to that, you're not going to hear from God. He will play second fiddle to nothing. Amen. Amen. Now, God will reach out to anybody that reaches out to Him, but He's not going to play second best.
You're right.
He's not going to get off the throne to save anybody. He's not going to get off the throne to bless anybody. Amen. Amen. If that cell phone's on the throne of your heart, God ain't going to be there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. God's not going to bow to the throne of a cell phone. God's not going to get on his knees and beg and plead for you to pay more attention to Him than you do all this, than we do all this other stuff. Amen. I'm saying if we want God to show up, we're going to have to show up. Amen. And so it's unfortunate that when it's time to worship, you know, usually only part of the church goes. It's funny, any pastor you ever talk to, you ask them, you know, what size you congregate, how many y'all running? The answer is almost always the same. Well, if we had everybody there. That's the caveat 100% of the time. If we had everybody there, we'd have probably about X amount. You know why it is? Because almost never is everybody already there, always there. And I know there's legitimate reasons why people can't make it to church sometimes. I know there's legitimate reasons. I understand that. But I mean, the fact is that it is too often, too common that we let little things keep us away and we wonder why God shows up. And the fact is, we don't show up a lot of times. Right? And so, you know, part of the church shows up. Sometimes it's a very small part. Amen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, you know. Y'all are sitting there saying, well, we're here. And I'm glad you are. Praise God. Tell them other folks to listen to this online. Send them a link to this message when Brother Ryan gets on the internet. Amen. Send them a link to this so they can hear it too. Amen. But hey, this is for you, this is preventative maintenance. Because you're here. And don't ever let the devil, your flesh, let you get slack in being faithful to the house of God. You need this place. Probably more than you realize. Probably more than you realize. It's amazing. People get hurt, or they get backslid on God, or they, you know, they get something come up in their life. First thing they do is quit church. And that's the worst thing they can do. And every time you miss church, the easier it gets to miss church. Every service you miss, the more comfortable your flesh gets with missing. Amen? Every time you're not there, the more comfortable. Because your flesh will be there waiting for you. Saying, the first time you feel real bad, you know. I mean, it just feels weird. When you've been in church all your life, it feels weird to not be in church when you ought to be in church. Ain't that right? I mean, even if you are sick. I mean, you're sick or you got something going on. I mean, you got a legitimate reason to not be there. But you know, you're not there and it still feels like, man, I ought to be there. I'm throwing my guts up, but I ought to be there. You know, I had my leg chopped off with a chainsaw, but I really ought to be there, you know. And it's just, it feels weird. But listen to me. You miss the second time. And then the third time, and then the fourth time, and your flesh is there every time saying, see, God's all right. I mean, your life, it's not falling apart. I mean, you know, everything's okay. And your flesh will get more and more comfortable every time.
You're right.
To the point where Wednesday night, not that big of a deal.
Oh, yeah. You're doing it right.
And then Wednesday night turns into Sunday night, not that big of a deal. I mean, everything's still going good in my life. Everything's still going all right, you know. Everything's fine. And I'm telling you, the flesh and the devil will lull you to sleep. Amen.
Amen.
They'll lull you to sleep. And next thing you know, you wouldn't even believe it right now. But next thing you know, you'll be out.
Amen.
A lot of people have sat on a pew in a church when a preacher preached a message like this. And whenever he preached it, they thought, that'll never be me. And tonight, they're out. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil lulled them to sleep. Getting them to believe little by little. The devil will never bury you with a dump truck load. He'll bury you a spoonful at a time.
Amen.
Little by little. And it'll get you a little more comfortable, and a little more comfortable, a little more used to the dark. Right? And he'll dim the lights a little bit more, and dim them a little bit more, and dim them a little bit more. And for long, you're out in the dark. Amen. And you don't know which way to go. And you're out. Amen. I'm telling you, it will happen. If you're not careful, it will happen. So in Israel's case here, though, none of the congregation was out of place. No one was off on a pleasure trip of any kind. No one was down at the lake. Listen, no one was off playing ball. Nobody was doing something that was, quote unquote, more fun, you know. No, listen, nobody was off on some venture that they made more important than worship. Amen. No, the whole congregation gathered for worship. The people in the gathering. But then number two, let me point this out to you. Notice the verse says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, it says they assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation. They set up the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle here, if you we've done some studying on that, you probably remember, the tabernacle is a picture of Christ. Right? I mean, there's so much in that tabernacle that is a picture. It looks like, parallels Christ. And that's what it's meant to be. That's why God designed it like he did. To be a picture of Christ. It represents Christ. And that tabernacle that represents Jesus Christ was set up at Shiloh on this occasion. The occasion where they meet together to worship, they set up that which represents Christ. So the Israelites have carried that thing around the wilderness all these years. Everywhere they'd go, you know, they would go and move when God moved. They'd stop when God stopped. And they carried that tabernacle with them everywhere they went. But now it's brought here to Shiloh, the place of worship, and it is set up. The setting up of this tabernacle speaks of exalting Christ in worship. When they met together at Shiloh, the center of worship, they didn't just do anything. No, they set up the tabernacle.
Amen.
Because that was the reason for them worshiping.
Right.
was to set up that which looks like Christ. That's which parallels Christ. So when we gather to worship, it's no different. Coming together to worship, the reason we come together is to set up Jesus Christ, to exalt Jesus Christ in our lives, in our families, in the church, before the world. We have come here to set up Jesus. Amen? And so that's why we come. Now, as Israel's worship centered on the tabernacle, ours is to center on Christ. Speaking of center, I said this earlier, but church used to be the center of society, period. But not anymore. And you know, we need to make sure that the gathering, that worshiping the Lord, we have to take very careful effort, be circumspect, to make sure that it stays the center of our life. This world and the devil and your flesh have got so much out there that would draw your attention and your heart away from worshiping the Lord and exalting Him. Amen. Things that are not even wrong, not even a sin in and of themselves. But they just get in our mind, they get in our heart. We begin to love them more than we love the Lord. Listen, there's not one thing wrong with football. I love football. I love watching football. Amen. But watching a football game on Saturday ought never to affect our worship on Sunday. And I've seen some people that when their team wins, I mean, they're fired up. But when their team loses, oh man, they dragging around. Listen, that lets you know right now, right there, that thing's got too much of a hold on me. And the best thing you can do is put it down for a while. Just put it down for a while. I just realize I need to take a step away from it. This has got too much of my heart. This has got too much of my attention. This affects me too much. And anything in our life that is that way, that affects us that much, that it would affect our worship, best thing we can do is step away from it for a while. Because it might not be a sin in and of itself, but the devil makes it a sin, and we make it a sin when we set it up as an idol in our heart. Amen. We set it up. I mean, you know, it could be anything. It could be anything. And I know this, the Holy Spirit tell you what it is. If it's in your life, you want to know, the Holy Spirit's telling you right now. The purpose of the gathering. Listen, God help us never forget the purpose of why we come to worship. You know, I say it all the time, and sometimes I get convicted. I don't want to ever be too lighthearted. I don't ever want to joke around too much in church. And I say it all the time. It's good to have fun in church, isn't it? It is. It is good to have fun in church. It's good to laugh. It's good to have a good time. But sometimes I get convicted because church, it really is not all about fun. It's not all about fun. I'm not here to be a comedian. And you're not here to laugh, necessarily. Amen. It's good to have a good time. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have fun. It's good to enjoy one another. But ultimately, we are here to worship the Lord. Amen. And I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's so true. If our church services, our gatherings, our assemblies, if they are spiritual, they will always bear the fruit of spirituality. Right? Now, we say a great service is a service that's high, you know. People are shouting, people are testifying, tears are running, people are in the altar. And no doubt those are wonderful services. I'm for that, don't get me wrong. But just because a service isn't that way doesn't mean it's not spiritual. Because not every fruit of the Spirit's that way. Spiritual things will always produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, and then when we're here to worship too. Well, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love. And sometimes you have love services, man. I mean, just the Lord stirs that heart of love for the Lord in you. And sometimes He stirs that heart of love for one another, you know, and folks are loving on one another, appreciating their pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes it's love. What joy, you know. Sometimes you have them joy services. I mean, people are shouting and people are singing. I mean, we're just glad to be saved. I mean, it's just a spirit of joy in the place, you know. about peace. Sometimes you have them peace services where, man, it's not necessarily way up here, but it's just a spirit of peace that comes across, and God just helping people, and God's working peace into your heart through what the preacher's preaching or through that song that's been sung, whatever, and you've got something going on in your life, and the Holy Spirit of God, I mean, He's just working peace into you, and you get down the altar, and that you're praying over something in your life, and the Holy Spirit steps in and brings that peace that passes our understanding, and that's just a fruit of the Spirit, fruit of a spiritual service. Nobody's run the aisle. Nobody's shouting necessarily, but that spirit of peace is there, right? I mean, every fruit of the Spirit, I mean, you go down through there, and if our services are spiritual, they'll always produce one of those fruits or multiple fruits of the Spirit, right? And it always comes when we exalt Jesus. That ultimately is the reason every time. It's all about Him. We major on the Lord, and if we major on the Lord, we major on His Word. And that's what it's all about. Amen. The purpose. They set up the tabernacle. Last of all, let me give you this. We find the product of this gathering here. Look in the verse. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. This verse is an interesting verse grammatically to me. Because it's pretty rare to me. I mean, I've not noticed many of them. Verses like this, where you actually have two sentences in the same verse. Usually when a sentence ends, the next verse starts with the opening of the next sentence. But if you notice there, at the end of the verse, it says, they set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, period. And the land was subdued before them. Now, it's kind of significant, I think, that this sentence within this same verse follows and is directly connected to the tabernacle being set up. The tabernacle set up, picture of Christ being exalted, and that's significant because symbolically that really fits there, doesn't it? They've set up the Lord, they've devoted their life to Him, they've come to worship, they've exalted Him symbolically by, you know, setting up the tabernacle. And after the tabernacle is set up, after the tabernacle is exalted, the enemy is subdued, the Bible says. The land was subdued before them. Now, when Christ is exalted in our lives, we'll gain that exact power over our enemy. Amen. And our main enemy is sin. If you got sins you're struggling with, things you're struggling with, the best thing you can do, the way you're going to have victory is exalting Christ in your life. Amen. And one way we do that is when we gather. We exalt Christ by worship. When we worship Him. When we skip church and don't put much priority on the gathering of the saints for worship, the assembly. What we do is we actually dishonor Christ. And by dishonoring Christ, we lose power to combat sin successfully. You never see somebody, we've all seen situations probably where somebody gets miffed, you know, and it's always blamed on somebody. It's either the preacher or it's somebody in the church or some situation, whatever. The heart of it is they're not right with God.
Right.
And you've never seen a situation like that where somebody gets in that spot and they leave a good church and they rarely ever go to another good church.
Right.
Almost never. They find some contemporary liberal, you know, don't stand for nothing place to go to because, you know, that's where they fit in. That's basically what that crowd is made up of. Made up of people that are rebelling against God, but they want a place to go and scratch that spiritual itch. You know? That's basically what that crowd's made up of. And you can tell by what they produce. By their fruit, you shall know them. Their fruit looks nothing different from the rest of the world. Right?
Amen.
And people almost never leave a good church and don't go somewhere like that. Or go to some liberal church that don't even preach a Bible. They got an NIV, you know. And it may be what we call, quote unquote, traditional worship, you know. But they ain't got a Bible, you know.
Right.
And so there's no conviction.
Right.
And by the way, there's never conviction when the Bible's not preached.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? That's why you can pack a church out if you just move out this Bible. You can preach any other quote unquote Bible you want to, and people are fine. It never, because there's no conviction. The Holy Spirit does not identify with it. Right?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit doesn't identify with it. Nobody is saved under it. God's people are not challenged and convicted by it. And that's usually the type of place somebody goes.
Right.
And whenever they go to a place like that, you never see them get more spiritual, more holy, more standards, more convictions, more like Jesus, more like what God describes a Christian should. They never get more of those things. Amen. Listen, their children never get more godly. They never move close to the Lord. Oh no, they wind up losing their whole family to the world.
Right?
Now I tell you what happens. It comes from dishonoring the Lord by not being where they know they're supposed to be. And because they dishonor Christ, and by the way, that's why church is such a big deal. By not showing up to the assembly, that's disobedience to God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's disobedience. And then not only that, because it's the place where we come to exalt Christ, it dishonors Christ. It spits in the face of Christ. The bride is what He died for. And it's a slap in the face. And so dishonoring Christ, so I was saying, what happens is we lose power to combat sin, and sin takes over. It takes over. Amen?
Amen.
God help us to always make church a priority.
Right.
The assembly a priority.
Amen.
And I'll just say this, I'll be done. I said a lot about missing church, but it's just as true that we could be here but also not be here. Amen.
Amen.
And so God, help us to make worship the priority in our life, to not just be here, but really be here. There is no telling what God would do in your life if you would really prepare for worship. If you would just make worship a priority, make it the utmost priority. If you'd get out of your head that you've got to have that phone, you know, because what if you get that important call? Listen, the most important call you could ever get in your life is the call from heaven.
Amen.
When He starts calling, amen. When that, listen, forget about having signal down here. We need to get tuned in with that signal up there.
Amen.
Amen. Everything else, there's not a thing in life that God wouldn't and couldn't work out if we'd get tuned in with Him. But we're too worried about having signal here rather than having signal up there. Right? There's no telling what God would do if we'd prepare starting the night before, if we'd get ready. Listen, I got church. We got church. We can't go. We can't do it. We got church. And I understand there's sometimes there's things you got to do. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, it's a question of priority. Is it really my priority? Is the gathering really the most important thing to me? Listen, next week, Sunday's going to come the same time it did this week. Are you going to be ready? You going to make sure you're ready? This world's going to make sure you're not ready. The job is going to try to make sure you're not ready. Amen? The devil, your flesh, all the entertainment out there, everything going on in the world, all that's going to try its best to make sure you're not ready. But are you going to have courage and brass and enough backbone to say no to all that and make sure I am ready to worship God? You going to be ready? It's going to be the same time then that it was this week. Wednesday night, it's going to be the same time it was last week. The same time. You going to be ready? There's no telling what God will do if we're ready. Whenever God set that crowd digging ditches, getting ready for rain, listen, they were able to get as much water as they wanted to based on the ditches they dug.
That's right.
Amen. In other words, there's going to be times that we're going to have to dig in.
Right.
We're going to have to dig in. If you want the water, you're going to have to dig in.
Amen.
Dig in. Get ready. God will send it if we'll get ready. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, for helping us with it. Lord, I pray that You'd drive these things into our heart. Lord, help us, Lord, to be ready. Lord, to draw nigh to You that You might draw nigh to us. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us in these days. Lord, I thank you for how you've worked in our church. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we'd not stop here, though. Lord, I pray that all of us, young and old, Lord, from the pastor down to the pew, Lord, all of us, Lord, I pray that you would prod us along. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, challenge us, and Lord, that you'd continue to speak and move, grow us and stretch us, Lord, move us out of our comfort zone, and Lord, convict us and help us, Lord, to be more like you. Lord, I want us to grow. I want to grow. And Lord, I'm not necessarily talking about numerically. Lord, we want you to send in families, and we want to grow and see people get saved and come and join the church, all those things. But Lord, we want to grow spiritually. We want to be more like you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, me, my family, all of us, God, help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, to get all the things out of the way in our life, Lord, that you might be the most important thing to us. Lord, I want to say we love you. Thank you for speaking to us tonight and blessing the altar call. Help us to respond in a way that'd be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.